Shall we bless you and thank you, Lord, for who you are and for all that you are. We thank you, Lord, that we are saved by you, that the process of salvation is a realization of the righteousness of the living God, so that we may become entirely and exclusively vessels of your righteousness. And we thank you that the work being accomplished in us is a work that is being manifested in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word that is being explained to us in the witness and testimony of Jesus. We thank you for the word that is being established in us in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the word that is being brought to us in fulfillment in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the creative work that is being manifested in our inward parts. It is an awesome work. It is a holy work. It is a precise work that you mean to manifest in each one of us. Teach us to understand that the Christian faith is the realization of the righteousness of the living God. Realization of what you can accomplish with us. Realization of a life in which we live, move, and have our being in the Lord our God. That at all times, in every situation and circumstance, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, we will be enabled, O God, to live, move, and have our being in you. We pray that this realization will come forth in each one of us, even as that realization was in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go back to that passage of Scripture that we opened in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." And we said that the literal translation of that, the literal words in the Greek are actually "have the faith of God." Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And today I want to talk about what does it mean to have the faith of God. What does it mean to have the faith of God? How is the word of faith of God explained to us? And how is the faith of God brought into our lives? Alright, so. Because it is the faith of God that is going to move mountains. Alright, so if you look at verse 23, for instance, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Right? So for the mountain to move, that is the power of God being manifested. For the mountain to move, there has to be a faith that is so pure and so clean that the power of God can be manifested in such dimensions. And the characteristic of that faith is that faith has got no doubt. That faith has got no doubt. The characteristic of that faith is also that all things that we believe will be done. So obviously, this faith has a very pure thought process associated with it. This faith is alive to the will of God. This faith is alive to what God wants to do. The power is available, and God is saying the power is available in such powerful dimensions that a seed of that faith can move mountains. So it is the faith of God, and the faith of God is associated with a reality that is brought into us in which we will have, that we will really know the things of God in such an extent that we will have a total confidence in God. And that total confidence will be evidenced by us having no doubt that what we say will be done. Obviously, God has to do a work for us to realize that reality. Right? Obviously, God has to do a work within us for us to realize that reality. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does... Okay. and nothing will be impossible for you. Okay. So, the power that really moves the mountain is the power of God. The faith that will manifest that power is what God is talking about here. And he says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move that mountain. All right? Now, the faith of that, of the size of a mustard seed, is a measure of the faith of God that Mark chapter 11 is talking about. Okay, have the faith of God. And today I want to talk about how God engineers his faith into us. No, Jesus Christ came and he lived a lifestyle. He lived in a thought process that was totally different from what you and I have. Jesus had a faith in God that was amazing. A faith that was so very, very different from what we think faith is today and how we teach faith today in the church. Let me show you how Jesus taught in a very familiar passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, found in John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. And this is very basic to us realizing the faith of God. Verse 19. Because you really must understand that having the faith of God is really something astonishing. But to have the faith of God, there have to be other things inside of us that have to be engineered by God so that the faith of God can move through our lives cleanly and in accordance with God's will. You see, you cannot conceive of having the faith of God in a nature that is crooked. You cannot conceive of having the faith of God and using it contradictory to God's will, contradictory to God's word, contradictory to what God wants to fulfill. The faith of God must be manifested in the perfect will of God. It's very nice to read, oh my goodness, if I can have the faith of a mustard seed, if I have the faith of God to the level of a mustard seed, I can move a mountain. That's awesome. But you must understand, the reasons for why that mountain is being moved have also got to be in accordance with God's word. Otherwise, can you imagine what you can do with that kind of power? You can destroy everything. Yeah? So, yes, God is saying something awesome, but if you look at Jesus' life, he used that power only when it was in God's will. He didn't use that power to escape the cross. Yeah? Although he knew that he could summon up the angels to answer him at a call. Right? All he had to do was to ask. It would have been given to him. Right? But you see, he was entirely subject to God. And John chapter 5 verse 19 communicates this to us in very powerful terms. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. Now faith is an evidence, right? You know that from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith is a substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. Right? And Jesus says, I only do something that is of God. He says, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. And this is the key, right? The reason why God has made this realm of power available to us through the conduit of faith is so that we can manifest that power or be conduits for that power to manifest, because we have been able to see what God is able to do or what God wants to do. And we've got to become more and more sensitive to that. All of us have experienced, and we can never explain why sometimes God heals miraculously and other times you pray and you pray and you pray, nothing seems to happen. I think there is a little thing called what God wills to do. We pray for the healing, and God manifests that healing whenever we are praying in line with what he intends to do in a person's life. We've also found that it's easier to see miracles manifest in the lives of non-Christians than to see miracles manifest in the lives of Christians. And then you realize it is because God wants to do something else in a Christian life than just demonstrate his power. You understand what I'm saying? That God wants to do something far more than just heal a person when you start praying for Christians. There are other changes that God wants to deal with. there are, for instance, strongholds in that person's character and nature that need to be broken. That's an example. Or there could be strongholds or belief systems in that person's thought process that need to be demolished. And sometimes sickness and disease seems to be a last resort that God uses to get somebody's attention, because, you know, otherwise the person is not listening. I'm speaking in general terms. Don't make this into a theology, all right? This is not a theology, right? I'm just saying that, you know, it seems to be like that at times, all right? But you see, here Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." And that's the key. If you want to see the faith of God move, then the faith of God is based on the exclusivity of God. So Jesus says, "I can do nothing of myself." So what is Jesus trying to say here? He's saying very simply that I live by my God, I don't live by myself. The faith of God operates in such a heart. Are you with me? Makes sense? The faith of God operates in such a heart. Jesus says, I see whatever the Father does, this I see, and I do according to that. Are you with me? All right. So, as we look at the subject of faith and we wonder why sometimes, you know, men of so-called great faith sometimes fall into sin and do all kinds of things, you just have to go back to the scripture and look at the life of David. He was a man of tremendous faith. Yet his faith did not save him from committing adultery and committing murder. But the faith of Jesus Christ went to the cross and brought salvation into the world. The faith of Jesus Christ continues to save people today. The faith of Jesus Christ is still functioning in you and me today. Right? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. What is he authoring and finishing our faith with? With the faith of God that he manifested for us through his life. The faith of God that he manifested because he was the Word made flesh. And one of the things that the Word made flesh came to communicate to us was the faith of God that would enable man to be perfect, even as the Heavenly Father is perfect. So if you read Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus says, "You are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Now we don't have to be rocket scientists to understand that we don't have the character and nature to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But Jesus Christ gave that as a commandment. You are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now how the dickens do we move into something like that? And that is, can only be manifested through the faith of God engineered into our lives through Jesus Christ. And in order to engineer that work into us, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant into the tablets of our heart. Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for us. Can you see that? He's doing a work in our lives. And what is he doing? What's the work he's doing in our lives? To bring the faith of God and explain it into our lives through his testimony. So that we can actually become sons of God. You see, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus Christ makes the distinguishment between John the Baptist and those who are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Right? Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Although John the Baptist was a great man of faith, and Jesus considered him to be the greatest amongst those born of women, yet he makes a distinction here. He says, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than him. What is he talking about? Who are those who are manifested in the kingdom of heaven? They are those who have received and realized the work of God in their lives. Because the kingdom of heaven is based on the righteousness of God. What God has accomplished in our lives, when you were born again and I was born again, God accomplished within us a work that no religion and no righteousness of man could have engineered. God accomplished with us a supernatural change. He brought a change in our heart. He brought a reality in our heart, right? That is of the faith of God. We saw things as God would see it. We saw the salvation plan of God. And that salvation plan of God is God's will and purpose for humanity. And in that moment when the seed of the word, the seed of Christ, was planted inside of us and opened inside of us through the work of the Holy Spirit, we came alive to an entirely new universe, the universe of the kingdom of God. We came alive to it because Jesus told us that unless you are born again, John 3:3, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And we who are born again have seen the kingdom of God. And then he said, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. To see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. To walk into the enter the kingdom of God and be able to function in the kingdom of God, there are two realities. Water representing the Rhema word and the ability to function by the Holy Spirit. Now the Rhema word we have already taught in this ministry from John 6:63 that the Rhema word is of the spirit and life of Jesus. It is the word of God explained to us in the testimony of Jesus, in the witness of Jesus. It is the word of God communicated to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And the word of God that is communicated into us in the spirit and life of Jesus is communicated in the faith and love of Jesus for us. And the faith and love of Jesus was demonstrated for us on the cross. And the faith and love of Jesus are the manifestations of the faith and love of God for us through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God didn't simply sit on a throne, have the glory of the angels surround him and say, I love you. He demonstrated it through the life of his Messiah. The word was made flesh in order to demonstrate to us what the faith and love of God is in tangible terms for a new man, for a new creation. And this is what is important for you to understand. You cannot become a Christian in your own strength. You have to become a Christian in the faith and love of God that has been communicated to you in the testimony of Jesus. Jesus brought to you the faith and love of Jesus. Faith and love of God, and the faith and love of God can change your life. And God demonstrates that in a moment of time when you were born again. He opens to you a new reality. You saw the kingdom of God. And now God wants you to learn how to realize the Rhema word of God by the Holy Spirit and walk into it so that you can enter into the kingdom of God and you can live by the righteousness of your God and not just live trying your best and finding repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly your best doesn't get you anywhere. If Moses' best didn't get him into the promised land, what on earth do you think you and I have as a chance? Right? If anyone who should have stood in awe of God, it was Moses, because there is no other character in the Old Testament, including Elijah and Elisha, who saw the power of God as Moses saw it unveiled through him. Water being turned to blood, frogs manifesting out of nowhere, right? Locusts coming out of nowhere, right? The firstborn of families being, right? Of families of a certain race of people being judged because they stood against the will of God. And God manifested those things, seeing the Red Sea opened, right? With an army facing it. Seeing the cloud of God go between the army of Egypt, right? And the people of Israel who were defenseless. And keep them there. Certainly for many, many hours on end. So you really need to understand and realize that for Moses to get angry with God after seeing all that, after having experienced God for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai and seeing the manifestation of the tablets that were the handiwork of God and receiving them from God in his own hands and then turning away from God, right? When he came down from the mountain, he was angry with Aaron, right? Yet he himself ultimately got angry with God, right? In that moment when he felt God was pushing him too much. Why did God do that? Didn't he know he would break? He knew precisely that he would break. But God wanted to show that man's righteousness would not be able to walk into the things of the kingdom of God. That's the whole reason why God wrote the Old Testament. He wrote the whole Old Testament because Adam had questioned God. Because Adam had questioned what God had told him. God said, do not do this. It will cause you death and destruction. Adam and Eve logically reasoned it into their heads and said, there doesn't seem to be anything here that seems very, very dangerous. Why don't I do what I think is right? I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. After all, I'm just eating of an apple. What can be wrong with an apple? It is just that God said, don't eat the apple. And what God wanted from Adam was just his obedience. Right? You trust me. I know what I am telling you. And Adam questioned that. And so, after opening the floodgates through that questioning mind of his, right? Now we are in the process of realizing that what God says is the only thing that can save us. And that's not easy for us to understand, isn't it? Although we understand intuitively that God is always right and trusting God is the only thing that makes sense, yet we all find that there is a part of us that will refuse to do that, not just once or twice, repeatedly. You have it, I have it. Right? And so there is a process that God has to engineer within you and me to bring us into what Jesus is talking about. I can do nothing of myself. Even if you take the dumbest guy on earth, he will never tell you, I can do nothing of myself. All of us know that we can do many things of ourselves. Come on, guys. You would never say with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I can do nothing of myself. We don't have that kind of a thinking process. We don't have that kind of a belief system. See, Jesus had the faith of God, and in his heart, God was absolutely, totally, and comprehensively everything. Are you with me? Now, Jesus came as a man, and the faith of God was manifested in him so as to be brought forth as a response of man to God. This is what God wanted to develop in Adam. But Adam never allowed God to do that. So Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh. And in the situations and circumstances of man, and in the realities that man faced every day, Jesus actually believed that he could do nothing of himself. How do you like that? Yeah. Although at the age of 12 he could stand before the smartest minds in Israel and ask them questions, and when they could not answer the questions he asked them, he also gave them the answers at 12 years old. Yet for 18 years after that he sat in the carpenter's workshop doing what? Making furniture. Now if you and I had an anointing at the age of 12 to have so much of wisdom and understanding, we would have told God, I'm ready to go and do everything. Why on earth do you want to keep me in a carpenter's workshop for 18 blooming years? That's 1.5 times longer than I have lived so far. Yeah. I mean, why on earth should I be sitting there and working my hands in furniture? Here I am, I have got such an amazing capacity of understanding and wisdom, and you are asking me to sit in a carpenter's workshop, deal with some difficult customers, right? And what does the Bible just express those 18 years in one verse? Jesus found favor with God and he found favor with man. That's all he did for 18 long years. But that was the basis of everything. That's where the character and the nature was formed. And that character and nature was formed in a thinking in which God was absolutely everything to him. Can you see that? That's crucial for us to understand. So the faith of God can flow in such a nature. When the faith of God is perfected and completed inside of us, that's how we will also think. And that process has begun in our lives. There are points in our life when we actually, in moments of time, know and know and know that only God's way is the right way. But there are many other moments in time when we are on our own and faced with circumstances and situations in our lives, business situations, professional situations, where we think immediately, instinctively, that we have the answers. Yeah? We do it even without thinking. And then after the fact, when something does not quite turn out the way we want it to turn out and say, oh my goodness, I forgot to pray about this. I forgot to commit it into God's hand. I forgot to ask Him to be with me in this business deal. And now I am stuck with a partner who is taking me for a ride. Yeah? Even a Christian partner. And I just found out that he wasn't like what he seemed to sound like. That his heart was something else from what his words were like. Yeah? And we learn that lesson repeatedly. Yeah? What is the Lord trying to tell us? That you have to learn how to live and function by the Holy Spirit and not by your own thoughts. Yes, the principle is there. You shall not be, what shall I say? You shall not be joined, right, with the, what's the word for that? Verse for that. You shall not be unequally yoked, right? Okay. You shall not be unequally yoked. But we find that you can only find out whether you are equally or unequally yoked by the Holy Spirit, not by applying a principle. Just because someone comes and tells you, I'm a Christian businessman, doesn't mean he's meant to be your partner in the business. Just because this girl goes to church and she smiles from year to year and says, praise the Lord, every two sentences, doesn't mean she's your ideal partner for marriage either. You better hear what God has for you, otherwise you may find out that she isn't quite what she sounds like. Yeah? Yeah. So you see, that's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. To function with the Spirit of Truth in partnership with Him, you have to have this reality of the faith of God. Faith is what gives us an evidence of things, right? Faith is the substance of hope. We hope that God will move in our lives, and the substance of that hope is manifested in an evidence. When the evidence manifests, you know that God's in it. So faith is the means by which God tells you, I am in something. Faith is not meant to be something in which you say, I can now do it my way. Now, faith in the system of the world, because all of us have been given a measure of faith. Faith in the systems of the world is like this. Once I figured it out, I know I can do it. I'll go ahead and I'll do it. But faith in accordance with God's word is the faith where I can see that God's in this with me, that He's taking me through this, that He's doing something that is beyond what I am capable of doing. He's going to use this to teach me, to train me, so that I will one day be able to manage or to run something far beyond my capacity to do so. That I'm going to be able to function as a professional far beyond what my inherent capacity as a professional is, far beyond my own brain power, far beyond my own capacity to understand and see things. That's what God is trying to build with us. And in order to build us into sons of God who will be able to hold high positions of influence, God wants us to learn how to function by Him rather than by ourselves. The faith of God is entirely dependent on God. The faith of God is entirely dependent on God. The faith of God knows that God is with me. I may not be able to know everything, but I know God's in this with me. And even though I may go through ups and downs and go through valley experiences and prolonged wilderness experiences, I know God's in this with me, and He will bring me up so that I will be able to stand in that position that in my heart I know God wants me to occupy. So that I will become His vessel, so that He can demonstrate the immensity of His ambition over my life. God's ambition is for you and me to lead nations. God's ambition is for you and me to stand in positions where we can be a light to the nations. Now you tell me how you're going to do that in your own capacity. You can't. You don't have such an inherent capacity. You don't have it. It is not of your being. Are you with me? Even if you try to do that in your own capacity, you will find that you will not be able to sustain it across periods of space and time. You will not be able to sustain it in the abiding. Right? If you read business history over and over again, right? Things are not sustained by families who run businesses, right? By the third generation, generally, 9 out of 10 business empires fail, pass on by. Maybe there is an extraordinary person, line of people in your family, and it extends for a few more years, but you know, that's it. It's been repeated over and over again. Empires come. People say we are going to rule the world. Yes, empires come and empires go. The Roman Empire came and it ruled 3/4 of the known world at that time, or whatever it was that they ruled. Britain came and, you know, they said the sun never set on the British Empire. Well, today the British Empire is long gone. It was unsustainable. But God's talking about a kingdom that is prophesied in the book of Daniel that will grow and grow and grow and grow until it fills the whole earth. The kingdom of God is within you and it's within me. The kingdom of God is amongst us. And God is talking about something that is awesome. In the book of Revelation it is written, and the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God. Now for that to happen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that that is a manifestation of the faith of God. Hello. Can you imagine a nation, pick any nation, the nation that you come from, right? And can you imagine that nation becoming the kingdom of God? And all the idols have been removed. And the administration of that kingdom is going to be by the Spirit of God. Can you conceive that in your heart? Can you have the faith to see those kind of mountains move? That is the faith of God. Can you understand that? It cannot be achieved by the faith of one man or two men. It has to be the faith of God collectively manifesting in a whole number of people, right, who are able to stand and hold position. Can you see that? Hold position in the fervent belief that God will defend them and God will hold them no matter what happens around them. Yeah? And if you look at the Old Testament, you will find that God took someone like Daniel and he precisely demonstrated that in Daniel's life. But it was not just meant to be in Daniel's life, it is meant to be in our lives collectively. Can you see that? And that is what the faith of God is pointing to. The whole body of Christ rising up into position, some in spiritual positions, some in natural positions, but always with a spiritual input. Because without the spiritual, the natural cannot be governed. Right? Because even the kingdoms of darkness are governed by spiritual forces. Principalities, powers, mights and dominions in heavenly places. That's where the power behind kingdoms is. That's where the power behind world leaders is. Right? And when the Bible talks about the coming of the Antichrist, it's just telling you that God, that this evil one will raise up someone of such power, right, that he will be able to govern many nations. And this has been seen repeatedly in history. The Caesars of Rome were wicked people. They had covenants with all kinds of wicked powers. Human sacrifices were involved. All kinds of perversions were involved in the power behind the throne. But you must understand, the power was not merely the power of an army. The power was spiritual. In order to have that army subjected to that wicked person, whom you wonder why on earth they ever supported him. Why did Hitler have so much of power over an entire nation of Germans who are very intelligent people? Because there was a spiritual power behind him. It was not that the Germans are inherently worse than anybody else. It was because of the power that stood behind him. Right? And this is what you must understand. The spheres of influence that he generated were spiritual, and they were spiritual powers of darkness. Why do people fall before so-called men who are gods? I mean, they don't even look like gods. I mean, to us who are not under their spell, there's nothing. I mean, how on earth does the Sai Baba reflect God? Tell me, which, on what standards? I mean, on physical standards, with his pot belly, and he reflects God with his frizzy hair and his wrinkled face and his and his dead eyes, right? He reflects God. I mean, how on earth can you even think that? But there are millions of people who will swear and give their lives and say that he is God. So what is the power behind him? It is not him. It is the spiritual power that operates over him. Correctly? Yeah? There's nothing godly about anything or what he says. Right? I remember reading this in one of the papers in Bangalore a couple of years ago, where they quoted him as saying, "The dust in India is holy." Can you imagine that? I read that and I said, my goodness, if anyone can read this and believe this, they must have something screwed up in their heads. All right. So we're coming back to the faith of God. What I'm trying to get at is this absolute necessity for you and me to understand that we need the faith of God to be operating in us. We don't have the capacity to generate true faith in and of ourselves. Now, this is why Jesus said, I am the truth. He came to manifest the blueprint for a faith that will not be shaken. A faith that would see the Red Sea open, not just in one moment in time, but would repeatedly, right, be opened depending on the circumstances and situations each and every one of us is faced with. There are many times in your life when you have wanted to see the Red Sea open in your circumstance, right? Maybe you're battling for people in your own families to come to the Lord, and it's like opening the Red Sea, isn't it? They don't seem to be even able to listen to what you're saying. Just the hold, the strong hold over their hearts and their minds seem to be so powerful. I mean, the moment you open your mouth, they are mocking you and they are laughing at you and calling you a donkey. That you are totally unreal. Now, how on earth do you break through something like that? Do you sit down and say, oh my goodness, there's no hope for my family? No, that's not the answer. God wants you to exercise the faith of God through your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but the church has not manifested that reality. Because we are trying to generate that out of our own selves. Yeah. So we need to understand that we need to realize and tap into God's faith so that the impossible becomes real to us all the time. That nothing is impossible to us through Christ who strengthens us. I can stand in that position, provided God wants me to stand in that position. If God wants me to stand in that position, no matter how many mistakes I make, no matter how many silly things I do, ultimately God will win. And therefore, I will repent and I will turn to God and I will realize that change that my God can bring into my heart and my mind. I will not look at myself and condemn myself because of my own failures, because of my own character flaws. My God can change me. At least you can start by setting your hope on him and saying, your faith can change me. If you could take a bloke like Peter, who betrayed you after being your best friend for 3 years, and make him head of the church, surely you can change me and make me at least, right? An honest guy in right? Can you see that? Right? Why did Jesus Christ appoint Peter to be the head of his church on earth? Was it because Peter was qualified? No, he was not. Because of Jesus' faith over him. That's why Jesus said, I have prayed for you. What do you think he did when he prayed for Peter? He exercised his faith over Peter's life and he said, this guy is going to walk as a saint of the Lord. This guy is going to change. This guy is going to stand in authority and power. He's not going to be a loud-mouthed fisherman. He's going to be an apostle of the Lord. He's going to be a leader of men. He's going to bless generations to generations to generations. Yeah? Same thing happened with Paul. Why on earth would he want to take self-righteous so-and-so called Paul, who thought he was so self-righteous that he had the right to kill men and women. That he could decide on them based on his understanding of Scripture. And Jesus Christ goes and picks up this guy and makes him write 2/3 of the New Testament. Now, how on earth do you express that? Explain that. No, we look at Paul and say, oh my goodness, what a holy man. I look at God, that he would take a guy like Paul, who was a hard-hearted so-and-so, so full of his own intelligence and so full of his own brilliance, and make him a servant of the law, of the Most High God, that he comes to the point and he says, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That is the power of God's faith over Paul's life. That's tremendous. What about your life? What about my life? All things are possible. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we even deliberately do things that are wrong. We all do it. But you've got to see beyond yourself and your own idiocies and your own idiosyncrasies and be able to see what God can do with you. And this is what the faith of God is all about. God saves us. David knew that. Oh God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your power. Because if you don't do that, I'll die. My faith can never save me. He learned that. When did he learn that? Only after he committed murder and adultery did he learn that. Other than that, he would not have said that. Because he had mountaintop experiences and he experienced God and he said, my heart panteth after the Lord and all this nice stuff. Right? But when he fell down, that's when he realized the difference between his righteousness and God's righteousness, and he turned down and said, you better do something with me. Lord, you better vindicate me with your faith because I am finished. I've just done something without even realizing I had done something evil. Hello, he was conveniently sitting there and the prophet comes and tells him about such a man. It never even occurred to him that he was the man. He had done it. Yeah. But that is our kind of nature. That is our kind of nature. But the nature of God is different. The nature of God can see you and me as sons of God. For God to have called us to be sons of God from the foundations of the world, before even our unformed substance. What kind of faith is that, man? Don't we need that faith to be operating in each one of our lives? No matter who you are, no matter where we have all come from, we have all done terrible things in our lives. If you look at God's perspective, we've all done terrible things. Our generations have done terrible things. But the Lord our God has chosen to call us His sons. He has chosen to call us a royal priesthood, kings. He has chosen to call us a prophetic people, a people through whom He is going to speak. So for God to speak through us, through His faith, He's got to do one heck of a job over us, isn't it? To be able to trust us with power that can move mountains. That means the faith of God that stands over us must be an awesome faith. To see you and me as being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. To see you and me as having the mind of Christ. Talking like Him, I can do nothing of myself except what I see my God doing. But you know that we will all walk in that reality one day. We will all walk in the total and absolute conviction and confidence that we are sons of God, that we are going to be a blessing to nations, all of us. And some of us have got faith that wavers by the minute. No, it's like the waves rolling, right? One day we are on an up, and God is saying. Saying to people like us, right? That through our prayers, through the testimony that He has built through our lives, in spite of our many weaknesses, one day the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our God. And that's why the saints in heaven bow down before God. Let's turn to that. Revelation chapter 14. Or Revelation chapter 11, one of those. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign." Right? Are you with me? The prophetic word was spoken. And the church in heaven falls before God and says, "Amen." What happens on earth? And the nations were enraged, right? And the nations were enraged. But that doesn't change anything, because God's word will be achieved. Can you see that? So here we are struggling to become sons of God, isn't it? You are struggling, I'm struggling, right? There are things in our character and our nature that seems to prevent us, seems to paralyze us from thinking that we can be instruments of the living God. And God says, it's not about what you can do, it's about what I can do with you. It's what my faith can achieve in you. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because God communicates his faith through his word. And if you keep on hearing the word of God, the faith of God will manifest in you, and you will be enabled to become what God wants you to become. You will be enabled to think right. You will be enabled to see right. You will be enabled to function right. Yeah? And the nature and character of Jesus will be worked into you by the Holy Spirit, and you will change. And this is what you must understand. You must never sit down and condemn yourself because you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other. Neither must you minister to other people and condemn them also. Your brother, you must pray more. Yes? The guy knows he already needs to pray more. You don't have to say the obvious, right? You have to enable him to see that through Christ he can do all things. That's the Christian ministry. Through Christ you can do all things. Through Christ, the entire church of Jesus Christ will walk by the Spirit. And to walk by the Spirit, right? It's not in Pentecostal extremes, right? To walk by the Spirit. Did you see Jesus jumping around and running around and standing on his head? Hello. He just went about his life. Was he Spirit-led? Absolutely, totally, and comprehensively. Yeah? He walked by the Spirit all the time. That's why when the Holy Spirit left him, he cried out in agony, because that was his lifeline. The Bible doesn't record that Jesus cried out in agony when they drove spikes into his body. He never wrote that. But he cried out in agony when the Holy Spirit left him, because there was something he had to accomplish in his manhood. He had to, in his manhood, address God from out of the depths of sin. The sin that he was carrying. And he chose to address his God in the faith that God had built in his life. The faith of God was put to test in the testimony of Jesus. And he said, "It is finished. It is accomplished. It is done." And God said, "Amen," and raised him from the dead. And amen is the oath of God that stands in the faith of Jesus Christ. And the faith of Jesus Christ is the oath of God given to you, so that you and I can become sons of God. So that you and I can do impossible things. No matter where we come from, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, how on earth can you conceive that? The poor shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Where on earth does such a reality exist? It exists in the heart of God. It exists in the faith of God. It does not exist in the hearts of religious maniacs who go around condemning people because they don't do this and they don't do that and they don't do the other. That's what you got to understand. The faith of God is beautiful. That's why we can grow. That's why we will become what God wants us to become. And nobody is going to stop us. The devil can come and say, "You are not healed, brother. It's coming back to you. The pain is there. Focus on the pain." And as you focus on the pain increases, the fear increases. And you must understand there's something beyond that reality. There is the faith of God over your life. You belong to him. Your children belong to him. Your family belongs to him. Your marriage belongs to him. You are sons of God. But will you allow God to come through? Or will you keep him out? See, many of us miss out on God because we want God to do things our way. That's where we put the spokes in the... That's where we spike the spokes in the wheel. We want God to come to us on our terms. We want God to function in our lives on our terms. Instead of yielding to God and trusting in God and hearing God's word and allowing God to work his word into us, we want God to do something our way. If God doesn't do this way at this time, then I am not going to listen to God. And that's where we miss out on God. That's why there are so many hard-hearted people in the Christian church who refuse to hear God, who have the cheek to say, "Where is this God that we speak of?" Yeah? But God's there. God's will for your life is for you to be his son. God's will for your life is for you to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. No matter where you have come from, no matter what your parents have done from generation to generation, God's will is for you to stand in his purity and in his excellence. Nothing less than that. God's will is for you to be a son unto him, a king, able to touch entire nations, guys. Touch them in such a way that the nations can live in the testimony and witness that flows out of you in the righteousness of your God. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. For the seed of the word to become a morning star in your heart, that is the faith of God. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word. Now what is the prophetic word? The word expressed to you in the faith of God for you. The prophet who spoke it is just the channel for it. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Always remember this about prophetic word. It has to dawn in your heart. If you have received the word of a prophet and it is the word of God, that word must grow in your heart. Have you seen the sun dawn? Have you ever seen the sun rise in the morning? How it gradually rises. So in the same way, you must understand, if that prophet has spoken what is true, it is not something that comes like magic, you know. Now it is and now it is not. Or now it is not, now it is. No, it just dawns in your heart. That's how spiritual things grow in your heart. They don't happen like magicians pull out a frog and turn it into a rabbit or something like that. That's a conjurer's trick. God manifests the prophetic word by dawning it into your heart. So if you have received the right word from the right person, then you must see its manifestation in your life. Light manifesting, and that light will transform you, because it's the light of life. John 8:12, right? The light that you have is the light of life. That's the light of life he's talking about here. When the light of life manifests out of the prophetic word, it's like a dawning of a morning star. What's the morning star? The smallest morning star in the physical universe is our physical sun. And God is describing your heart and my heart. Brother, do you have such faith or not? That is the faith of God manifested through his word in your heart and my heart. You know, there are many people today who teach that the word of God is just there to tell you the principle, but you have to run with everything else that, you know, that is just merely experiential. Now the word of God has to dawn in your heart, brother. The word of God is eternal and abiding. It grows. When God says love, it is a word that will keep on revealing itself to you in all eternity. Like a son being birthed in your heart. And when the sun comes to its full form in your heart, can you imagine what will manifest out of your heart? The love that will flow out of your heart. Where did that love come from? It flowed out of the faith of God for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave believing. He gave knowing. Yeah? Are you with me? In God, believing and knowing all end up in the same place. From eternity to eternity, God has believed and God has known. And God's believing and God's knowing is all one thing. He is omni. What's the word for it? Omniscient, right? Right, omniscient, all-knowing, correct? But it doesn't mean it is just magical. It has to be manifested, right? When God saw the created universe, he said it was very good. Was it very good? Yes, in how he saw it. Because he saw its ultimate manifestation. Not just what was there. He had begun a work and he saw it. And he said it is very good. And when he said it is very good, he knew that all things will be established in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so you and I will also be established in the name of Jesus Christ. How can God's word fail? It can only fail if you reject it. I mean, some of us choose to live in our problems and focus on our problems and keep meditating on our problems instead of focusing on what God has said. So what do you think happens when you focus on your problems? It becomes darker and darker and darker and darker. What do you think is the end result of darkness? It is death and destruction. Your only option out of a problem is to turn to God and focus on His Word. You have no other option. You have no other option because there is no other place from which light is going to come. Some of us believe that God will turn our wrong situations into right. How can something wrong become right? If something has caused you disaster for the last 20 years, you think it's now going to become a blessing to you? Come off it, guys. The blessing is an entirely different reality, isn't it? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. And so many of us are wasting our lives insisting that God should manifest, this is what I want to do, and Lord, you must come this way. This is faith. Brother, that ain't faith. That is just, that's wishful thinking. That is just stubbornness. Faith is not stubbornness. Faith is not hard-heartedness. Faith involves transformation and change, brother. If your faith is the right kind of faith, then you are going to be an honest-to-goodness person. You're going to be fashioned and formed in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. You are going to be a son unto God. You are not going to be like this. I cannot be like this and continue to be like this and think that God is going to use me mightily in the character and nature I possess today. It will never work. I have to change. No matter how painful it may be, I have to change. I have to allow God to change me. I must look to God for that change. If I try and figure it out as to how, what I am going to do, I'm finished. Already before I begin, even I'm finished. Yeah? So Jesus says those words, I can do nothing of myself. Praise the Lord. Amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the basis of all things prophetic. Praise the Lord. At the heart of all things prophetic is the faith of Jesus for you and me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can have the faith of God. And that having of the faith of God is something you communicate to us through the witness and testimony of Jesus. We thank you that through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, through his nature and his character, through how he thought and through how he functioned, through how he went through the cross and paid the price for us, you give us a vivid demonstration of that perfect faith that has been brought into the dimensions of man's reality, Lord. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Messiah. We thank you that because he paid a price for each one of us, that price will be honored in our lives. And we have to see that, Lord. So enable us to see that the price that Jesus paid for us will manifest in a new creation, Father. It will manifest in a new creation because you are the Creator God and you have chosen to channel your faith for us through the life of Jesus, through the testimony of Jesus, through the cross of Jesus, through his resurrection, and through him You are going to teach each one of us how to function perfectly by the Holy Spirit, so that by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we will walk before you and be holy and blameless before you. And all this is the fulfillment of your faith, Father. And we bless you that this is the realization of the law of faith by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, setting us free perfectly, completely, and totally from the law of sin and death. And we bless you and thank you that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you that we are able to say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me, right? Coming back again, God reinforces over and over again the very basic reality in which we hook into God's faith. You remember Jesus and you hook into God's faith. Remember Jesus, what he has done for you. When you run into your troubles, when you face your own anger, when you face the lust, when you face the selfishness, when you face the fears that you have, when you face the character flaws that you have, when you face the doubts that you have, remember Jesus Christ expressed perfect faith for you. And that's why the Bible addresses you as beloved. That's why the Bible addresses you as sons of God, whether you are male or you're female. That's why the Bible addresses you, right, as being saints, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. All those words are used over you and me, not because we look like saints today, but simply because the faith of God says that. And so, as you struggle with things in your life, you must understand Christianity is not make-believe religion. Faith has an evidence, and that evidence can be checked out, it can be demonstrated. And God wants you to check it out in your life, that what he has said to you in the Bible works in your life. Right? Works in your marriage, works in your family, works in your workplaces, works in your business, works in your ministry. Everything has to be built out of the remembrance of Jesus Christ, because if it is not built out of the remembrance of Jesus Christ, it will fail. And you will also realize that. As you get older and you see things passing out of your life, as you see things you have worked hard for become irrelevant, you will realize it is because I built it on myself. I built it on my abilities. I built it on my capabilities. I built it on my anointings. I built it on my ministry. I built it for my own name. But if you built it in the remembrance of Jesus Christ, it will be there. Your marriage will be a blessing. Your children will grow from generation to generation. And you will see the blessings of God go forth. Because it is the faith of God that you are unveiling in Jesus Christ. Even if your children do funny things, the Lord will bring them back. Because you have chosen to pray the words of God over their lives. Are you listening? There is a realm of prayer, brethren, that is an absolute certainty. It's an oath. That is blood covenant. That's what we are celebrating in Holy Communion. And blood covenant stands by the faith of God. I have bequeathed my generations to my God. Not out of my faith, but out of my Lord's faith for them. Yeah? And this is what you must see, and this is what you must understand, and this is what you must pray through. That your children and my children will stand in positions of authority in the kingdom of God to become what God is able to make them become. Now, sometimes we try to make our children what we can make them. We try to provide our children with what we can provide them. Provide them with God, and they will stand. And they will shine. Provide them with God. Provide them with the right focus on God. And nothing will fail them. Even if they fail 100 times, God will pick them up and put them together. Hello, brother, you've already experienced it in your life. Where were you 10 years ago? What were you doing 10 years ago? My goodness, what do you think saved you? What do you think caused the changes in your life? Why are you sitting here? Because of your faith? No, because of God's faith over your life that your faith has realized. Your faith is the product of God's faith. One day that faith will be manifested perfectly and it will keep on growing perfectly. Yeah? And the Bible says that you and I are to be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, what capacity do you and I have to be filled with all the fullness of God? Ephesians 3:19. Right? I mean, do we deserve it? Come off it, guts. But God says He will make us perfect and He will fill us with His glory. Because He's designed us for that. That's why we are called temples of the living God, so that God will unveil His name there, unveil His eyes there, unveil His heart there. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this is what communion is all about. Us realizing that communion with God. That reality of being able to function by God. That reality of seeing things in our lives come together because of God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God's abundance and God's, right, God being there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the privilege of being able to partake in this communion, Lord. And this communion is a testimony of the faith and love of Jesus. It's a testimony of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us in the finished work of the cross. It is what you have done for us through Jesus Christ and what you are doing for us today as the Holy Spirit labors with us to bring forth in us a fulfillment. And Lord, we have already seen significant realities of fulfillment in each one of our lives. And we are looking forward to the realization of the fullness, Lord. We bless you and thank you that we can connect into your faith by simply remembering Jesus Christ. And that remembrance is a witness within us. And by the Spirit, we can energize that witness within us and receive from you all that you have for us. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, for they are prophetic of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. The bread represents His fullness given to us through sacrifice. The cup represents His witness poured out for us in blood, speaking to us through the washing of the water of the Word that comes to us in the witness of Jesus. And it is also, O God, an unveiling of His Spirit that will clothe us and enable us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So prophetically, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a demonstration of your faith and your love for us, Father. And we receive it, Lord. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we bless you and thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. And of His fullness we have all received and grace upon grace. And that fullness of Jesus Christ is a communication of your perfect faith and your perfect love, Father. And that communication of the fullness of Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession. And we possess as we set our hope on Him. Because, Father, faith is the substance of hope. And we have something when the substance is manifested. And we can check out what we have through the evidence that manifests in our lives, Lord. The evidence of change in our character and our nature. The evidence of being able to believe for greater things. The evidence, O God, of being able, O God, to see, O God, ourselves doing things, O God, in the glory of who you are and all that you are. And Lord, it's an awesome work you have undertaken. We thank you for your perfect faith. Because faith is substance, and that substance of the Master's fullness is the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. And we receive, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The cup poured out for us in a living witness in spirit, water, and blood. That cup, O Lord, that speaks of forgiveness. That cup that speaks, O God, of our response in repentance. That cup that speaks of a Passover that will unveil us as sons of God. That cup, O Lord, that is an expression of the living faith and living love of Jesus Christ for us, that the Holy Spirit wants to bring into a living expression within us, so that we can live, move, and have our being in you, Father, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that realization in each one of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.